We'll get back to the text club in a moment. A lot of opinions coming in on the news today. And I want to remind you, there were two news items today, and I'll get back to those in a minute. But, you know, campaign season's here, and people are crisscrossing the state trying to make sure they get a chance to meet you and that you get a chance to know a little bit more about them. One of those individuals is running for the United States Senate. Katrina Christensen is the Democratic NPL candidate that's trying to go out to the United States Senate. She's in the KFGO studio right now. Katrina, welcome back.
Tyler, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on in. When you're in Fargo and I had heard that you're going to be here, I said, come on in, let's get an update on how things are going.
Yeah. What a day to show up at the studio.
Yeah, there's a lot to digest here. And I thought, because at the onset of the day, the first big news item was the Supreme Court decision.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, locally here, well, we've got emails, we've got texts, and we've got phone calls.
We've got everything.
I won't pull you into that one, but I do have to pull you into the Supreme Court decision where they did say Colorado and their attempt to have Donald Trump not on the ballot, that's been now overturned unanimously. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that it's not surprising that the Supreme Court ruled the way that it did. I think it was surprising that it was a unanimous decision. And now the American people get to decide who gets to be president in November, and that's a really great thing.
What I find interesting in this, I had said when Colorado made the decision in this microphone that it's going to end up in the Supreme Court, they're going to overturn it, and this isn't going to be a surprise. What I do find of note, though, in their decision, they're saying Congress needs to act on how you implement certain things. But I remember Congress, when they were debating whether or not to allow him to ever run again, when they had the second impeachment and the conviction hearing that was going on, or discussion, debate, Mitch McConnell gets up and says the courts need to decide this. So the courts are saying Congress needs to act. The Congress is saying, well, it's got to be the courts. But I think you ultimately said voters are going to decide this.
The voters are going to decide this.
Well, and I think that's where people are saying that it ought to be. And now we'll be following along with that because the pollings are quite interesting this far out. And speaking of polling, I know that there was a poll done just within the last month about your race. And there are some interesting tidbits in there.
There is.
We have to be honest. You got work cut out for you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I do. But I've never been afraid of work, so I'm good there.
The work being that people need to know who you are.
Exactly.
And you have to get out and introduce yourself. And for those that are listening for the first time that haven't heard necessarily maybe who you are or what your background is, here's an opportunity to tell them who you are.
Yeah. So thank you, Tyler. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a working mom in Jamestown, North Dakota. I've got three kiddos. Henry's 15. I am learning very quickly what it's like to parent a teenager. And I have a 12-year-old, Vivian, and a 7-year-old, Johannes, who goes by Hansi. And I raised those kids with my husband, Max. And I am running for the United States Senate to represent all the people in North Dakota. I'm doing this for my kids. I'm doing this for their communities. I am doing this so that people can have access to affordable health care, so that we make sure that our rural hospitals stay open. I'm doing this so that people have access to affordable prescription drugs that they need to live. I'm doing this so that farmers don't have to gamble 18 months ahead of planting on which crop insurance program they should sign up for. We need leaders in Washington, D.C., and that's why I'm game for running for United States Senate.
There's a couple issues that you bring up in that. You talk about prescription drugs, but I want to talk about the farm bill first because, I mean, reports, I was getting messages from people that I still associate with and visit with out in Washington saying, rumors are out here there's going to be no farm bill. I heard that now from farm groups in this area. Our farm and ranch team have been reporting on that, but there's going to be yet no farm bill again. We're just going to continue on with what we've got. But I'm curious your take on just the overall farm bill itself.
Well, so I'm an agricultural engineer, and I've worked for industry. I worked for Cargill, worked for a startup here in Fargo, designing ag processing equipment for farmers or brewers or whoever wants to get in the game. And so I have some experience with agriculture. And I think one thing that I have heard on the trail is that people don't like the 2018 Farm Bill. It's not good. It didn't really address some of the problems, and we shouldn't be surprised that there isn't going to be a farm bill. We have career politicians who cannot get anything done. We are, what are we in, like, continuing resolution 78? I mean, this is not a, this is not a surprise. And I think what voters are really frustrated by, who are taxed with every day making the right decisions for their future, for their income. You know, I've talked to ranchers who are very frustrated with the inaction of our federal delegation to address the very serious issues in our agricultural economy through farm bill mechanisms. It's really frustrating, and it's just really hard to get anything done when politicians don't feel like they have to. And that's why we're making this race really competitive, getting out there, talking to growers, talking to ranchers, making sure that they understand I'm listening to them. I want to go to Washington to represent them. I know a rancher, he's a Republican, and he's told me people feel like their vote has been sold. He's told me they just want the books that are, or the laws that are on the books applied, whether that's the Stockyard and Packers Act or dealing with monopolies. Farmers and ranchers are getting pinched on both ends because we have allowed foreign companies to come in and buy up land. They buy up our seed and chemical companies. And what ends up happening is American farmers and ranchers get pinched. On the other side, we have consolidation in the meatpacking industry that doesn't allow for competition in the marketplace. And this isn't being addressed in the farm bill because it's not really a concern for our representatives. They're there for serving the special interests that, you know, donate and themselves.
Katrina Christensen, our guest, running for the United States Senate here in North Dakota. You mentioned about the meatpackers and the monopoly there. When we come back, I want to talk about that as a whole. Because we think about meatpacking, we think about a variety of other industries where you got just a handful of companies that really run the whole show and how that impacts prices. You got more time for me when we come back?
Yes.
Katrina Christensen, again, you want to join the conversation, you can text us at 35270. Your KFGO time is 317. I'm Tyler Axsidis. Stick around. Katrina Christensen, my guest here on Afternoons Live. I'm Tyler Axsidis, but she is running for the United States Senate. And Katrina, before we left, you had mentioned meatpackers.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we at, like four companies owning?
80%.
Okay. It's monopoly work, right? So they impact prices more than what I think people want to certainly believe. You got, I think, like four airlines that control 80% of that market. Again, I mean, you got all these other different industries where it seems like we've consolidated a lot of this. And if we're talking about the economic side, because people say everything's so expensive now, they want to quickly say it's all inflation. Well, some of it has to be about record profits, and some of it has to be a little bit about the fact that we don't have enough competition in some of these industries. That's my opinion. I'm curious your view on what you think of the economy right now and what you think could maybe ease what people are feeling when it comes to going to the grocery store. Right or wrong, that's what they feel. So I'm curious your take on all that.
Oh, yeah, Tyler. And I totally get what people are feeling. Like I said before, I have a 15-year-old, and he's always making himself a sandwich. And I remember, I don't know if it was last year maybe, I went to the store, and Miracle Whip was like $8. Like, I was, like, blown away. I was like, this is insane. And so I really understand what people are feeling right now from the inflationary point of view. But one has to think that this isn't all just inflation in the economy. Part of it is organizations, corporations taking advantage of inflationary conditions to maximize profits. And I think the Forum has been running papers or articles recently about lawsuits in the meatpacking industry. Mm-hmm. Like Target is suing a number of meatpackers for price setting because Target realizes, wow, you know, these meatpackers are setting prices and we're having to pay them and then pass that price increase along to our customers. And so I thought it was kind of ironic that Target is leading the charge in terms of trying to address some of this bad behavior mm-hmm. on the meatpacking side that does not allow for fair competition in the marketplace.
I wanted to ask you on this question because you had an introductory ad that came out quite some time ago that really dove into your background as far as your family having the farm and some of these same factors, I guess how I would put it, that impacted the bottom line for the operation. And if people haven't had an opportunity to see that, I give them a sense of what your background is on that, because I think it showed that relatable factor aside from having a teenager that wants to eat all
that. Yeah, no, it's expensive. So there's an ad, it's called the Wolves ad. And it starts out with this allegory of saying, you know, that a wolf was going after the family farm. And ultimately what ended up happening was my grandpa died and he had an operating loan. And I think lots of farmers have operating loans. And my dad was farming with my uncle. And after my grandpa died, they needed to pay back the loan and they had all of this equipment that they needed to sell. Anyway, they ended up needing to sell everything. That's kind of the way it goes. And then he didn't have a farm. And so, but you've got a house and you've got kids. You need to find a job. And that was kind of the 80s. My entire, you know, childhood, I remember my dad looking for work, having unstable work, and my mom being worried about paying for things. And one of the ways that I was able to kind of live the American dream is through these federal programs like Head Start, like food stamps. You know, free and reduced lunch is something that I was able to take advantage of when I was growing up. I had a different colored lunch card than everybody else. You know, that I'm grateful that those programs were available because it meant that I got vaccinated, it meant that I was fed, and it meant that I was able to learn. And I've always felt like, and I contributed that by working really hard. Class valedictorian, graduated as a high scholar, went on to get my master's degree and my PhD, and I have three patents. I have done that really hard work of, you know, putting in the work to see the realization of the American dream. But I also had a lot of luck. I had people around me that kind of encouraged me, and, you know, I got scholarships. Mm-hmm. And what I believe is that the American dream shouldn't depend on luck. And right now, if you're a farmer, if you're a nursing student or something like that, a lot of times your ability to live the American dream just really just depend on luck. And so we need leaders that are willing to do the hard work of making sure that you don't have to be lucky to succeed, that you can do the hard work and succeed.
When it comes to what are those things that you can do then, as far as in the United States Senate, when it's you shouldn't have that dream come out of fate, out of luck. What are some of the changes that need to be pushed forward then? I mean, are we talking about making a college accessible for all? I'm just curious, when you say don't have that nursing student or that farmer be reliant on luck, what does that mean?
Well, I think with the farmer, right now, with the farm bill, they have to choose between two indemnification programs. They either have to choose like a bottom floor price or natural disaster, right? So they have to make a choice. They have to be lucky. Their neighbor could be lucky, or they might be lucky, or both could be lucky. With the nursing student, I guess I'm saying like the increasing cost of college and the ability to find a job that won't wear you out. And you want to stay in that and pay off your loans or whatever. But I think that there are federal programs that we can continue to build on. Like, I think Head Start's great. I think the Farm Bill has food stamps and a part of that. I actually was on the phone with a woman, if I can share the story, from here in North Dakota, who was a social worker. And she was telling me about like families where the mother would give her money for medicine to her husband so that he could have the medicine that he needed, because it was more important that he have it. Or that there were people who didn't want to sign up for these assistance programs because of pride. But when they made the switch from having paper food stamps to the EBT card, the amount of spending in that county on groceries went up. And so people were leaving that community to buy the food that they needed, that they needed. And I think that those are the sorts of programs that we can build on. As an engineer, I also think that innovation and reshoring manufacturing is really important. So that you can see the thing that you designed built here. I think that's a really important thing.
Made in America is what I just heard there. I told you I just needed a little bit more. Do you have more? Because one of the biggest issues is border and the national security at the border, immigration. You got just a little bit more time for me?
Yes.
Very good. I got to get everyone caught up with a KFGO News update. Paul Juergens has been, all over the place, but he's back in that KFGO News Center to get you all your local headlines. If you have a comment or a question for Katrina Christensen, she is our guest. You're running for the United States Senate. Yeah, join the conversation. The Adventure RV Text Club is at 35270. I got comments like this. Tyler, good for Katrina. about time we return North Dakota to the people and agriculture. Another one was about, here it is. She's right. We need country of origin label on our beef. Right now we're getting record price for our beef, but the words out there are going to start importing more beef to drive the market back down. We need someone like her that has a backbone to stick up for American ranchers and put USA label on the package so American citizens can choose. We don't buy a Chevy when it's really a Ford. I've got 20 seconds for your response to that.
Well, I think with the country of origin labeling, it's a sovereignty issue. I know Senator Kramer has said, oh, well, the WTO has said we can't do this. So you don't do it? So you don't do the right thing for the American rancher? No, get a better lawyer. That's what I say.
We'll come back with more of your comments with Katrina Christensen next, right here on KFGO. Katrina Christensen continues to be my guest, running for the United States Senate here in North Dakota. And one of the top of mind issues is the southern border. It's about national security that people are saying that is non-existent because we have an open border. I'm curious your view on all of it. I don't even want to ask about a specific thing. I'm just curious your view of what's going on when it comes to the southern border now.
Well, I think that it is something that I hear about on the trail. I hear about it in call time. And it's on the minds of voters here in North Dakota. And I am concerned about it, too. From a national security point of view, we do need to address the issues at the border. And, you know, when I'm stumping around the state, I like to say about Senator Kramer, and this is a compliment, that he's a career politician who's very good at identifying problems and very good at assigning blame. And this is this border example. Is a really good example of that. So he could have voted on the newest security bill. That was a bipartisan effort that had been worked on for months. It's the strongest border security bill that has come through Congress in 40 years. And he decided not to vote for it, not to support it, not to address those issues at the border, whether it's the fentanyl getting in or whether it's dealing with the concerns about all of these people coming into the United States that are not vetted to be here. And so it's really disappointing to see a career politician throw away what could be really important for our future to address these things. But it's not surprising because it gives him a culture issue to run on and it gives him something to fundraise on. And so I would have voted for the bill. It's necessary. We need to deal with this. This hemisphere is dealing with a migration crisis. And the way that you deal with it is by passing comprehensive legislation.
I would take it a step even beyond just this recent bill. There was a moment, not, well, it feels like a lifetime ago, but it wasn't that long ago. I think it was about 10 years ago. Similar situation. You have a bipartisan bill in the United States Senate. At the time, it was Heidi Heitkamp and John Hoeven. They vote for it. Barack Obama's president. The House gets it, and John Boehner's the Speaker of the House, and they say, you know what? We don't want to give him a win. So they didn't do anything. And here we are. It's the exact same situation, aside from the fact that the Senate didn't even want to push it forward because they had a guy tell them, no, this will hurt my reelection chances. So there's a pattern here of pointing out that there is a problem, and there is. But then when you are in charge of being able to fix it, not do it, and that pattern repeats, this you also finds itself knocking on your front door. And I think there's been enough evidence here that shows that he's more than willing, while he's got the ability to do something, not to do a dang thing about it. That's my commentary on this.
Yes, absolutely. And I would say when I talk to my campaign manager about getting into the United States Senate and voting on really important issues like the Farm Bill or something like this border bill, he said to me, I can't guarantee that you'll ever be back here, and so you need to make the right vote. And I think that's what we should want from all of our leaders, is the ability to take that risk and do the right thing, even though your party might not appreciate what you've done. And so, like I said before, the border crisis is real, and we need to address it. And we need to address it in a bipartisan fashion as soon as we can. And right now, we don't have the leadership to do that, so we need to elect new leaders.
So when you're out there on the trail, What are the top three? We just talked on one as far as, you know, the border situation has now been top of mind for a lot of people. I've explained that to regular listeners why I think this time's different than previous, because people were put on buses and brought to Chicago, New York, wherever. Where now it's the nightly news. It's not just what Fox News is talking about. It's become a little bit more real. So the border has creeped up as far as priorities. But what are the other two or three that you're hearing when you're out saying on the stump?
So the other issues that I'm hearing about from voters are, again, access to affordable health care. That is really important. Access to those drugs that they need to live. You know, when we were off air, we were just talking about having to drive two and a half hours to get critical care here in North Dakota. And that's a problem. And so keeping those rural hospitals open that we do have is really important. Making sure that we have maternity wards in those rural hospitals is really important. Where I live right now, the Jamestown Regional Medical Center does have a maternity ward, but a number of the smaller hospitals around us that are still far away, like 55 miles or something, they don't anymore. That's a serious issue we need to address. The other issue is the farm economy and the fact that there really isn't a competitive market for our growers, for our ranchers to compete in. Their margins are getting squeezed, and they're upset about it. And it hurts our rural communities because they don't have the income to sustain them.
Hearing a lot of rural in what you're saying when it comes to, and I don't mean that as a negative. I'm just saying it's a rural state, so that should be expected, but I don't hear it as often as what I would expect when people are running for Congress, people are running for the Senate. It's the rural side of this seems to be forgotten. And I can say this because I'm a formerly elected Democrat. People in rural pockets say it's the Democratic Party that's forgotten about them. I'm curious of your take on that.
Well, I would say that they feel that way. I'm from a really tiny town. You know, I grew up in a town of 1,200 people. I knew everybody. And I feel like Jamestown is a small town. I know all
by my standards, it still is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, most of the, you know, people in Fargo think I live in Western North Dakota living in Jamestown.
Those people are wrong. One of them is a producer of this show.
But it's a focus of mine, because if our rural communities can thrive, our urban communities can thrive. Those things are tied together. I think it's important to remember that people that live in rural communities have dreams, they have aspirations, and they have value, and we should support those things just like we do in the urban areas. But that piece about access to affordable health care, I still speaks true to urban areas. Like we have Williston, right? They lost their air ambulance. It's right. Gone. So now you have to wait for an ambulance from Minot to fly all the way to Williston. That's still pretty far. Yeah. And so that's important. And I would, that piece about the farm economy, you know, agriculture's North Dakota's second largest economy. In the United States of America, North Dakota is the third largest producer behind Iowa and California. We have a lot of agricultural products that we make. We don't process them here. We don't do the value addition here. And so that is something that we also need to address.
Katrina, if people want to learn more about you, do you have a website? Do you have a Facebook? Where should they go and
learn
more?
I've got all the things, okay. Facebook, but KatrinaForUSSenate.com would be great. Thanks, Tyler.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on in. It was a pleasure to visit with you again. We'll do it again soon, all right?
Yeah, it was fun. Thank you.
Katrina Christensen running for the United States Senate. I've got comments in on this. A lot of messages about the emails and the retrieval of that, what that means for ongoing investigations. I'm coming back to you, me, this microphone, and your cell phone the whole rest of the way on KFGO.